Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
From KQED.
I'm Erica Cruz Guevara, and welcome to The Bay. Local news to keep you rooted. Well, it's been a minute since election night, but we finally know the results of Proposition 1. Governor Gavin Newsom secured a big win after voters just barely passed his proposal for reshaping how Californians struggling with homelessness and mental illness get care.
We're here today celebrating this journey and this successful effort to fundamentally reshape and reform the approach we take.
Today, KQED politics correspondent Guy Marzorati breaks down what Prop 1 is going to mean for the state.
So there was two big ideas or pieces of Prop 1. The first was a bond measure, a $6.38 billion bond to build more residential treatment facilities and supportive housing. The second was changing up how California spends its current mental health money, specifically earmarking more of that money for housing.
Why did it take so long for the results of Prop 1 to be called?
I think just because this election was hella close, and that's hella with like seven or eight L's. 7.2 million Californians cast a ballot on Prop 1. Right now, the latest margin I'm seeing, it's around 30,000 votes. The fact that we count votes county by county, you know, you have some counties, Alameda, that are just take longer than others to count. And I think that's why we saw such a drawn out process. Now, weeks after Election Day, we finally have clarity that Prop 1 is passed.
Was it surprising to you, I guess?
You know, I think of maybe if we were talking like 6 months ago or so, this would have been surprising to have the margin be basically down to tens of thousands of votes. The yes side went into this campaign with a big coalition in support, a lot of big name support, certainly a lot of money compared to the no campaign. But I think by Election Day, we knew this was going to be close. As we've talked about before, the electorate in this March primary skewed conservative, and supporters of Prop 1 really knew by the time March 5th came around that they were going to be in a really close fight here. The other reason that maybe makes sense to me is that this measure might have just been really confusing for voters. It was a bond, yes. It was also a restructuring of the Mental Health Services Act.
It's always easier to run a ballot measure that is extremely simple and clear to voters.
When I've talked to political strategists like Marva Diaz, she said voters might have simply been like, this is too much to comprehend. I'm voting against it.
The more they have to research, the more they have to unpack, the more they have to figure out themselves when filling out their ballot, the harder it is to get them to vote yes.
I know that Governor Gavin Newsom was one of the primary proponents of Prop 1. What is he saying about this win?
Yeah, the press conference was just kind of like a big sigh of relief from Newsom. He had been really quiet for the week since this, you know, vote had been counted. He kind of kept a low profile, but he was out there Thursday celebrating the win in Los Angeles.
We're here today celebrating this journey and this successful effort to fundamentally reshape and reform the approach we take to address the issue of mental health and substance abuse and disorder and challenges that continue to vex us out on the streets and sidewalks and those that are suffering alone.
Really kind of vowing to win over skeptics, particularly folks who might have approached this and said, you know, we've seen bonds before and they haven't really made a dent. He really tried to make an argument that he's going to be able to get this money out quickly, you know, get shovels into the ground to build residential treatment facilities.
And it is foundational, if this is going to work, that everybody step up their game.
He also turned his focus to California counties because the counties are going to be the ones implementing Proposition 1. And he really tried to put kind of like pressure on them to, okay, we passed this, now you all have to make this work.
It requires now, for the first time in state's history, that counties have one single plan to address this issue. And it's not just a plan.
Who else was for Prop 1 at the press conference in support?
It was a broad coalition, and that was reflected in who was there on Thursday. You had folks working in support of veterans. This measure set aside a specific amount of money just to build supportive housing for veterans with behavioral health challenges. You had a representative from the California Professional Firefighters. You might think firefighters, you know, what are they? What's their interest in mental health? Well, firefighters and other first responders often have to show up on the scene when someone is dealing with a mental health crisis. And the same is true for medical groups representing doctors, representing hospitals, who spoke in favor of this because they feel like oftentimes the problems in California's mental health infrastructure trickle down and end up with folks just showing up in the emergency room.
Well, just coming back to Newsom briefly, Guy, why is Prop 1 in particular so important for him to do this and to get this thing passed?
Newsom, as governor, has really taken on solving this intersection between homelessness, mental health, substance use addiction, as like what he wants to leave as his legacy in the state in terms of policy. So Prop 1 is really just the latest iteration of programs that Newsom has been pushing now for years. It includes care courts. That was, you know, a controversial thing last year, trying to create this new civil court system to compel some people into care. It included changing conservatorship laws, again, making it easier to take maybe a little bit of tougher approach, pushing people into care who are really going through the most severe crises on the streets. And Prop 1 is the latest in this. And I think for Newsom, it answers the question of a lot of critics had about care courts, which is, if you're going to compel someone into care, where are they going to live during that time? If you're going to go sleep under a bridge when the treatment is done at night, is that really the best way for people to be receiving care? So I think Newsom looked at Prop 1 as like, okay, this is the answer. I'm going to pay for this housing to go along with the care.
Coming up, we'll talk more about how Prop 1 will change mental health care and hear from the No campaign. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast comes from Outdoor Supply Hardware, inviting listeners to Osh's big anniversary sale celebration, May 20th through the 26th, featuring daily deals, $15,000 in giveaways, 20% off store-wide on Saturday and Sunday, and a lot more. Learn more at osh.com.
Did you ever wonder what it's like to live alone? Hidden in the woods, not speaking to a single soul for 30 years. Or wander the desert, uncover a hidden well, and dive to the bottom of the deepest water hole for 2,000 miles. The Snap Judgment Podcast takes you there with amazing stories told by the people who live them, with an original soundscape that drops you directly into their shoes. Snap Judgment. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I know this has been described as really like an overhaul of how California currently cares for people with serious mental illness. I wonder if you can like explain, Guy, like how exactly is this going to be a change from how things currently work?
Yeah, so it's still going to be run largely through counties. You know, counties are going to get 90% of the revenue from this behavioral health services tax. The tax is not going to change, but the revenue, 30% of it, like I said, is now going to have to go towards housing. So counties can use that to build new affordable housing with supportive services. They can use it to maybe operate some of the housing that's getting built through this bond. They can use it for things like rental subsidies for Californians who have mental health or substance use issues, who maybe are at risk of becoming unhoused. So that is a shift. And because that pot of money is not growing, there might be programs that are funded currently that as more of that money moves towards housing, maybe there will be programs that no longer have the funding they once did.
Well, you are sort of alluding to some of the concerns of the opponents here, Guy, which I do want to talk about. I mean, Prop 1 won pretty narrowly. Remind us who was against Prop 1 and what were their arguments?
So you did have the, you know, I guess, official No on One campaign, which was largely led by service providers who feared that as more money gets shifted towards housing, there's going to be less for existing programs. And you also heard, you know, from civil liberties groups who argued that that bond would fund locked facilities. They didn't like that. Disability Rights California, for example, was against this. On top of that, you had groups like the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, more on the right, that fiscally conservative view that the state just should not be borrowing this much money at this time. But there wasn't coalition or really coordination between these groups. And the No on One campaign was really a volunteer effort. They didn't raise money, and they knew from the beginning they weren't going to be able to kind of compete with the Yes campaign.
Virtually no advertising other than some Google and say social media and such. It didn't exactly stand up to a Super Bowl ad, but, you know, that's it's what we had.
Paul Simmons, who helped lead the No campaign, before that he was with Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance, he told me any program that has the word peer in it is in danger. So basically support programs that are led by Californians who have, you know, these shared lives experiences with behavioral health challenges, he looks at those as being particularly vulnerable.
You know, the governor and Steinberg both said, there aren't going to be program cuts. And we believe that was an outright blatant lie, but we're going to try to hold their feet to the fire to make sure that things aren't cut.
Prop 1 supporters and even the governor said that there's more money available for these types of programs from other sources. You know, there's efforts to get Medi-Cal to pay for these kind of services.
Well, let's talk about what is next year, Guy. Prop 1 is, I feel like, very complicated and it's ambitious, and now it's passed. What are you going to be looking for to see whether this is working, and could it, you think, make a real difference?
It's hard to say now. I do think this is a historic investment in terms of, you know, just the amount of money that the state is putting forward. But we've seen historic investments in supportive housing in the past that haven't totally moved the needle or changed conditions on the street, just because the housing that gets built is only one piece. There's people who are still falling into homelessness. And here, of course, you're talking about a very specific population of people experiencing homelessness. This isn't for the entire universe of unhoused people in California. This is a really specific slice of people who have these compounding, you know, substance use or mental health challenges. I do think Newsom is putting forward a pretty clear strategy when it comes to prioritizing. His argument is that the folks who really need this the most are the ones most visibly suffering. I guess time will tell, but Newsom is certainly laying down the marker that this is how he wants to be judged as governor of California.
Well, Guy, thank you as always for breaking this down. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That was Guy Marzorati, correspondent with KQED's Politics and Government Desk. This 20-minute conversation with Guy was cut down and edited by our senior editor, Alan Montesilio. Maria Esquinca is our producer. She scored this episode and added all the tape. Music courtesy of the Audio Network. If you want to know how to support our show and keep local news thriving here at KQED, consider becoming a KQED member. Just go to kqed.org/donate. I'm Erica Cruz Guevara. Thank you so much for listening to The Bay. I'll talk to you next time.
Did you ever wonder what it's like to live alone, hidden in the woods, not speaking to a single soul for 30 years? Or wander the desert, uncover a hidden well, and dive to the bottom of the deepest water hole for 2,000 miles. The Snap Judgment Podcast takes you there with amazing stories told by the people who live them, with an original soundscape that drops you directly into their shoes. Snap Judgment. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Sasha Coca, host of the California Report magazine. Every week, we bring you stories about what connects us in the giant, diverse Golden State. Because what happens in California changes the world.
I love this place. We were once seen as like the place to be, California. The land of milk and honey. That's where you go to Sunshine State. But we just have challenges right now.
KQED's California Report magazine. New episodes drop every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.